Surveys show the overwhelming majority of American teens use social media in some form, with roughly 90% on YouTube, over 60% on TikTok and Snapchat, and nearly 60% on Instagram. Some studies now link more than 3 hours a day on social media to increased risk of teen anxiety and depression, leading the U.S. Surgeon General in a new op-ed today to call for a warning label on social media platforms. And joining us now is the U.S. Surgeon General, Dr. Vivek Murthy. Dr. Murthy, welcome back to the NewsHour. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much, Amna, for having me.
So I need to point out, this would not happen without congressional action of some kind, but let's explore this idea that you've proposed here. You're basically arguing that, like tobacco, that a warning label coupled with research and also reporting on the harms that social media can cause, that it can make people make a different choice when it comes to social media. So where have you seen that kind of self-policing work that leads you to believe a warning label would make a real difference for teens?
Well, thanks for asking, Amna. And let me just step back and say that the reason I'm calling for this warning label is because I want kids and parents to know what we know in public health and science now, which is that social media use among adolescents is associated with mental health harms. Many people don't know that out there, and it's important that we share that. In terms of why this could potentially be effective, the good news is we have experience with warning labels from tobacco and alcohol. And in studying that experience, what we can see, particularly from tobacco labels, is that they are effective in increasing awareness and in changing behavior. And so what we would do in the case of a label like this is, once Congress authorized such a label, that would then start off a phase, a scientific phase, of testing different designs, different locations for the label, to ensure that it was maximally effective in increasing awareness. And to be clear, this is a digital warning that would appear when people use social media on a regular basis.
So there are some who say, look, saying that social media is the thing responsible for the teen mental health crisis that we know we're in is a lot like the folks used to say, well, rock music is responsible for bad teen behavior, or video games are responsible for teen violence, the so-called moral panic argument. What do you say to that?
Well, I certainly understand that argument, but I think those are fundamentally different issues. What we have not seen, whether it was in the case of rock music or television or radio or the telephone, was something that so wholly and completely pervaded the lives of our kids with an array of content that is just unparalleled. And so many of our children are using social media, you know, nearly constantly. And in fact, if you look at the averages, Amna, you see that 4.8 hours per day is the average amount of social media use among adolescents. But we also see that what kids are being exposed to now is really quite disturbing, violent and sexual content. People are being harassed and bullied, often by strangers online. 6 in 10 young girls are saying, young adolescent girls are saying that they have been approached by strangers on social media in ways that made them feel uncomfortable. This is fundamentally different from the other factors that we've talked about. And most importantly, let's look at the data itself, which is telling us about this association between social media use and mental health harms. Nearly half of adolescents are saying themselves that using social media is making them feel worse about their body image. So this is not an imagined problem. This is not a moral panic. This is a scientific concern that requires a public health solution. A warning label is part of that.
You also wrote about the benefits of social media a little bit last year. You talked about how LGBTQ youth in particular, or other kids from marginalized communities, can find community and connections and fight isolation online, that social media can do that. They can find mental health support in many ways too. Are you now saying that the potential bad outweighs the potential good?
Well, in fact, what I was saying last year is that there is a mix of benefits and harms, but that for many of our kids, the harms outweigh the benefits. Just take LGBTQ youth, for example. While, yes, we have seen, thankfully, that many LGBTQ youth have been able to find a sense of community online, in some cases that they may not have been able to find in person, we also know that they are much more likely to be harassed online on social media than straight kids. And so we've got to take all of this into account. And again, when you look at the population-wide data, you see that the harms are quite significant. When it comes to medications, for example, another example of a product where there's a mix of harms and benefits, we don't say that any benefit justifies extraordinary harms. If there are the harms outweigh the benefits. We pull the medicine from the market. We put restrictions on it in terms of who can use it, how it should be used.
You talk about this in your op-ed from the parents' perspective in particular. You write, quote, there's no seatbelt for parents to click, no helmet to snap in place, no assurance that trusted experts have investigated and ensured that these are platforms safe for our kids. You basically say it's parents and kids against some of the best equipped and best resource companies in the world. And I should point out, you are also a parent. Your children are on the younger end, but parents who are struggling with this will wonder, how are you handling this in your own home?
Look, this is a really hard time for parents across the country. Many of us are trying to figure out how to manage these technologies that we didn't grow up with that are having profound impacts on the health and well-being of our kids. And right until now, what really pains me is that the entire burden of managing this has been placed on the shoulders of parents and their kids. And that's simply not right. What I'm planning to do with my children is to, number one, wait until at least after middle school to have them use social media. And then I'll reevaluate when they're in high school based on their maturity, the data about safety, and whether or not there are safety standards in place. For parents whose kids are already on social media, what I recommend to them is to create tech-free zones in their children's life to protect sleep, in-person interaction, and physical activity, which are vital for their development. That could look like making sure that mealtimes, when you're all together, are tech-free experiences, or making sure that you take away devices an hour before bedtime and then you give them back in the morning, so you protect the quality and quantity of sleep. But regardless of all of these measures, Amna, what we have to do as parents is to have each other's back on this. We've got to work together, start talking more openly about this so we don't feel the shame that so many parents feel at not being able to manage this on their own.
That's the U.S. Surgeon General, Dr. Vivek Murthy, joining us tonight. Dr. Murthy, always great to see you. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Amna. Good to be with you, too.